How would you feel if 12 to, let's say, 20 people just came to your house all of a sudden, and you were tasked with a job of providing for them? That means cooking, finding chairs, finding food maybe, finding things to drink for them. How would you feel if that was you? Because that's the story of our gospel this morning. Martha sees Jesus coming down, and she knows that he is a well-known rabbi. He has become famous for his teaching and his preaching about the kingdom of God. He has become famous for doing all sorts of miracles. She sees him coming by on his preaching journey, and she invites him in to his house, or to her house, to be a rabbi. When you invited a rabbi into your house, what did they do? They sat and they taught people. Basically, you gave the rabbi a place to have almost like a home church. And so she invites Jesus in. And inviting him in, she invites probably all the people that are following him, at least the 12 disciples, maybe some others. So she has a full house all of a sudden. And she has some work ahead of her. So she goes about to provide for these guests that she did invite in, but they were fairly unexpected. She probably gets to the cooking right away, probably gets to finding things to give refreshments to this rabbi so that he can go about his teaching and his preaching. She is the obligated host and the provider to doing what has to be done. But she has a sister, and her sister's name is Mary. And Martha, while she's working and doing all the hard work, she looks over and she sees her sister Mary just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. Mary has taken the position of a student before the rabbi. And Mary, as she's sitting there, is just soaking in, absorbing, feasting on all the words that Jesus has to give while he's preaching in Martha's house. But Martha doesn't like this. And this, I suspect, is where a lot of us will relate to this passage. In this passage, I think there's a lot of people in this church who are very hospitable people and would take offense at what Mary does, and would feel some sympathy and some angst for Martha, because I know you good German people, you like to be hospitable, and when somebody's in your house, you make sure it's clean, and you make sure that they're well fed, and they have all that they need, they have the best recliner in the house, you maybe take them fishing, you do what you need to do for the people. And if you have somebody in your house that is not helping you out, you might get a little upset, right? Well, Martha gets upset. She doesn't like that her sister is just sitting there. And there's two reasons why she doesn't like this. First of all, she's alone in her work. There's nobody helping her to serve these other people. And by what we can gather from this, Mary and Martha live together, and this is their house. It is their responsibility then to provide for this rabbi and the guests. Martha is pulling her weight. Mary is not. But even worse for Martha is the fact that she wants to be where Mary is. And we understand that from the words used by Luke in this passage. In verse 40, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." There are a couple important words here that we might miss in our English Bibles. The first is the word tasks. This is a good word in Scripture. The Greek is something like diakonai. It's where we would get the English word deacon, and it means to serve. It is doing good service, the things that Martha is doing for Jesus and the guests are good things. She is doing good service. But she's distracted. And there the word literally has this meaning, that she is being pulled away, dragged away even from where she wants to be. She wants to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, absorbing, feasting on what he has to say, but she is being dragged away by acts of good service to the guests. And this really frustrates her. So then she pulls Jesus into a family argument. "Tell my sister to help me, Lord. I need help serving you in the people." But Jesus doesn't exactly come to her defense. In verse 41, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, many acts of service." Worried and distracted. You could substitute words there. You are anxious. You are troubled. You are bothered by these things. There are many things in this world to be worried about, to have anxiety over, to be troubled about. And oftentimes, they are good things. In the last couple of weeks, our nation has seen a lot of darkness. And it doesn't appear to be getting lighter. In fact, the world has seen a lot of darkness. You've seen the images in France of a madman driving through crowds of people in a big truck. And our Christian hearts, we want to help, don't we? Our hearts that belong to the Lord, we want to do some kind of service, some kind of thing. And even if we could be there and do something, the worries, the anxieties, the troubles of it all would be too much. We can be worried and troubled about even the good acts of service that we as Christians want to do, whether it's serving on the church council, whether it's leading a Bible study, attending Women of Peace and heading that up. It could be doing visitations. The work of the Lord, even though it is good work, even though serving other people is a good thing and God calls us to do these things, they can be worrying and troubling. They can cause anxiety and they can bother us. Even in good service, we, like Martha, can be pulled away from Jesus Christ. And so Jesus tells her, "You are worried and anxious about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Now it could seem that our Lord Jesus is telling us that we shouldn't worry about doing good works. That's not the case. Jesus here uses some specific words that can get lost. He's doing a play on words is what he's doing. Imagine Martha wandering about the house. She has all these people. She's getting food ready. Maybe she found a goat that she had salted or something and is now roasting it over the spit. Maybe she's putting together some, I don't know, Israeli kebabs. She's got really nice, the best choice portions of meat and food in her house that she's getting ready to serve Jesus and the rest of her guests. And Jesus looks at her and tells her, "Mary has chosen the better portion." The word Christ uses there is a word that you could use for the best piece of food. While Martha is worrying about getting food to Jesus, Jesus tells her, I have food for you. And Martha has chosen the better portion of food. This passage is about hospitality. It's about two kinds of hospitality. And we know from throughout Scripture that we are supposed to be hospitable with our hands in serving other people. We do these things. Our youth, I think, when they go to Iowa, are going to have a chance to serve other people. We have chances to serve others, whether they're in Strasbourg or in Bismarck or across the street from us, we have chances to serve other people. We are called to be hospitable with our hands. But first, Jesus calls us to be hospitable with our heart, to open our heart to Him, so that before we serve others, we may first feast on Jesus Christ. Feast and be nourished on His words, on His body, on His blood. We do this by coming to church on a regular basis and absorbing what Christ has to give us each Sunday. We do this when we enter into Bible study with friends, neighbors, our church groups, and we feast on what God has for us. We do this as we begin our days or end our days in our own personal scripture readings, or when we enter into prayer, or when we talk matters of faith with our friends, our family. Jesus calls us to first have hospitable hearts, that He may provide for us. This is the better, fatty, meatier portion that Christ has for us. And once we have fed on Him, then our hands become hospitable to others, that we may go and, by the Spirit's guiding, work through the anxieties, the troubles, the fears, the worries, the bothers of life, that we can feed others and nourish them with the words that Christ has given us. So this morning we are blessed then to have a table set before us where we can nourish on our Lord and Savior and then be sent to feed others. Let us pray. O gracious and most holy Lord, we thank You for Your words that are the words of life that You have to give us. Nourish us this morning, Lord. Feed us. Help us to feast on Your very word and to be filled by it, that we may know Your forgiveness and Your salvation, Your presence in us, and by this we may go and serve others. We pray this in Your most holy name. Amen.